CBS Sports and Inside STL welcome you to a little opening day fun with us at Llewellyn's Pub in Soulard. Monday, April 11th will be there for everyone's favorite day of the year, the Cardinals home opener. We're kicking off baseball season right with an all-day broadcast extravaganza. Brunch starts at 9 a.m. with draft beer and bucket specials throughout the day. Plus, come and hop on their trolley to the game or just settle in for a day of every St. Louisan's favorite pastime. That's at Llewellyn's Pub in Soulard on South 9th Street.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com. Tony Michael McKernan, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn. Doug sitting across from you today from the Two Fox, Charles L. Marlowe.
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, is that a St. Louis accent, the morning?
Yeah, that's offensive because you can't do that because you're from Toledo, but Doug and I can because we're from St. Louis.
We're already offended.
Yep. Why won't you ever accept me?
You're an outsider.
You want to build a wall?
I'd like to build a wall around St. Louis and make Toledo pay for it.
Whoa! You're going to make the glass city pay for it?
That's right.
You son of a... You would. Can I say something?
Well,
this is 2 days in a row now. The show starts. I got to get new cans. Is there anyone that can bring me? I cannot hear the programming.
Here's some cans behind me, Chuck. I'll hand them to you.
This makes no sense.
Very no. Very no.
Like the second that the show open starts, I can't hear out of the
very
cans.
Very no.
All right, here we go.
Perhaps you should have tested it before the show started.
Nicely done, Doug.
No, because I could hear
executive
the commercials.
Plus.
I could hear the commercials.
Well, we're moving studios. I was told yesterday, April 18th. April 18th, Doug, that's when the listeners will gather on Hampton Avenue to celebrate this show.
You think they will? They won't.
They will gather.
Is there a gathering spot? There's a sidewalk.
Yep.
They're not going to stand out there and picket or something, are they?
With signs?
There could be some neighbors.
Hi, Doug.
I expect there'll be some neighbors in that area saying, not in our hood. Get them out. Not in my backyard.
It'll probably be a vote, like a levy, against this show operating in their neighborhood.
I could think so.
I could see the whole thing happen.
I could, too.
Today on the Get Tinted STL Captain's Log, Derek Gould will be with us from Pittsburgh. That's at 8 o'clock. Derek Gould at 8 o'clock. We have the regular rotation of Rick Hummel and Derek Gould throughout the course of the season here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Derek is on today at 8 o'clock on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, the Appliance Discounters, with six St. Louis area locations to serve you. The Appliance Discounters online at theappliancediscounters.com. Six St. Louis area locations. Their savings is your savings. And you can do some spring cleaning, make room for new truck orders. Coming in from the buying show, some products reduced up to 50%. Floor models, one-of-a-kind models, open box models, all with factory warranties. All at the Appliance Discounters, the sponsors of the phone lines here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Derek Gould at 8 o'clock. And then Jesus Ortiz, the new Post-Dispatch columnist who attended his first Blues game on Monday at a Missouri Tiger Club event yesterday. His inaugural column in the Post-Dispatch will appear this Sunday. He will be with us at 9 o'clock on the Appliance Discounter phone line. So there is your Get Tinted STL Captain's Log. Lot doing here, of course, with the Cardinals playing the Pirates, trying to avoid the sweep this evening. Blues, Blackhawks tomorrow, and the Masters kicking off tomorrow as well. This is what it's all about, Jackie Papers, in golf's first major, with it being right around the corner. You can play 1 week fantasy golf for free at DraftKings.com. Whether you're a master of golf or just ready to try a new fantasy sport, you can play 1 week fantasy golf for free at DraftKings.com. Just pick six golfers before tee off, stay under the salary cap, and rack up points for streaks, per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition, and you can win with every tournament. DraftKings brings the excitement of the game to a whole new level with every monster drive and every made putt, bringing you closer to victory. And DraftKings is more than fantasy golf. Choose from a variety of sports to showcase your winning skills. Millions of sports fans have already discovered DraftKings. Now it's your turn. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Fantasy golf contests begin when tournaments tee off. So get to DraftKings.com and choose your golfers. Use promo code 920 and play for free. That's promo code 920 to play for free now only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, play for free. I will be constructing my Masters lineups today. I went 0-4 last night with three different lineups in baseball. I had some guys who had some big nights. I did go with Jed Jerko. He was a good matchup against Jonathan Neese historically in his career. And I went with Jonathan Neese just because of logic. And he delivered seven strikeouts. And in baseball, daily fantasy, that's the number that you really want. But I've got Adam Scott, Doug, is my play for the Masties. So if you want to make that play, get
Masties.
In there. The Masties. Somebody will win $1 million this weekend at DraftKings. Use the promo code 920.
No fooling.
That's right.
And when you watch the Masters, you're going to want to get out and play a little yourself. And you know where you should play?
Acorns, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Jack.
Yeah. Gorgeous course. About 6,700 yards from the black tees. Zoysia fairways, Chuck. You play a lot of golf these days?
Zoysia.
You play much golf?
I don't, but I would at Acorns.
Well, we go out there and do that. Well, that way we can kind of do some show prep.
Yeah. It's only about 20 minutes from the JB Bridge out there in Waterloo. Oh, it's nice. It's not a lot of water. A lot of water. So hopefully you'll hit them straight. It's a good test of golf. It's what I would call a good test of golf. And it's not only a good course, very affordable.
Golf.
Chuck, you could work today till noon, and it's a $22 weekdays afternoon, 18 holes in a cart.
Let's get out and swing the wrenches.
I think I like that, swing the wrenches.
I don't really care for the wrenches.
Derek Gould, 8 o'clock, Jesus Ortiz, 9 o'clock, your emails, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. It's a $20 gift card for Llewellyn's Pub. That is the prize. We'll be at Llewellyn's Pub all day long for the home opener this Monday. Llewellyn's in Soulard. Come on by the water. It is warm. Doug, the Cardinals, 0-2. They lose last night in extra innings. Final score, 6-5. Hello again, everybody.
Well, I'm fine, thanks. It's just not really the start we're looking for. Cubs winning their two games. Waka didn't look especially good. They struck out 13 times. But if you haven't got a lot of power and you've got next to no speed, you're going to have to make some contact.
Why do you focus on the negative?
Well, this is what got him beat the first two
because
nights,
right, Chuck, after Polanco's base hit, was it Polanco that had the game-winning hit?
Jordy Mercer.
Scored.
Mercer, Polanco scored. The focus on the broadcast was how the bullpen pitched really well for six innings. I'm like, wow, we're going to really up. We might have to really up it this year. We're going to really up it this year. The Cardinals just lost the game, but the bullpen was really good. As you're watching the Pirates celebrate between first and second, I go, God, this is just it makes Fox News like look like Walter Cronkite's operation.
You know, if you guys want to live your lives and be negative all the time, you can just go ahead and do that. But I'm going to focus on Jeremy Hazelbaker's bloop double down the left field line, first major league hit. And I'm going to celebrate that, Doug.
Diaz had his first major league hit as well.
I know.
Piscotty looks like a real player. I will say that.
You like his upside?
I like his overall game, yeah.
Randall Grichuk's having trouble with what I call contact.
Yeah. But as Tony La Russa used to say, it's the first week of the season.
Today is the fifth anniversary of Tony La Russa's first week of the season rant, as a matter of fact. Doug, why don't you take a listen?
All right, hit
today
the lever,
Today is the fifth anniversary.
Hit the everybody listening out there, I mean, you think I'm being unreasonable? It's the first week of the season. I mean, you guys, I don't understand this. Are you going to tell me, who are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that Yadier doesn't drive in big runs? You're going to tell me Albert can't hit? You're going to tell me the second baseman and shortstops haven't hit? David Freese, you don't think he's going to hit? You think Matt's going to hit? You think Kobe's going to hit? You think Berkman's going to hit? The answer is no to all those things? I mean, you get me. Is that what you accomplish your goal? Three, four times you ask so I get excited and get upset? I mean, that's not fair. It really isn't.
The skipper. Somebody should have raised their hand. Skipper, I actually don't think Colby is going to hit. Everybody else, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
But the best part about that is the fact that they actually won the World Series that year.
Yep, so that proves
it's the first week of the season.
5 years ago today, Jackie Papers. Pirates 2-0, Cubs 2-0, Cardinals 0-2. And so far, Matt Carpenter and Randall Grichuk's at bats, I guess, would be the two that stand out to me as being most disconcerting. It is, of course, hashtag small sample size theater.
Right.
But
I'm trying hard not to overreact to two losses where they didn't look very good. But it does just feel like there's a certain something missing. Like there's one big bat, one guy that's going to carry
him. Well, you have a guy in Matt Holliday who is not a number three hitter anymore, who continues to be number three hitter. Yadier Molina is hitting fifth. And so one of, you know, I don't know. This is kind of where you pay off the mortgage, so to speak, for 2009 or 2011 through 2015. You can't just like cut these guys. It isn't the NFL. So you're kind of stuck with assets that at this point aren't the same value of what they were when you locked them into the deals. But that's how you win championships for a while. The Cardinals were able to extend the run, whereas the window closed on the Phillies, courtesy of the Cardinals in 2011, and then they were stuck with declining assets, and then you saw them trail off. I think the Cardinals, unlike the Phillies, have guys who are potentially quality major league ball players that can replace them when this changeover takes place. But you know, offensively, they didn't do anything in the offseason to upgrade. They just didn't. It's just a damn fact. And people talk with emotion as opposed to analytics when they discuss Cardinal baseball, and I get it. That's what makes people so excited and loyal.
Why do you hate Eric Fryer?
But it's not even like I'm not digging into numbers. I'm just going, here's the roster. Oh, it looks similar outside of the guy in right field who was pretty good. But the thing that I think from a bigger picture concern is Michael Wacha, because Matt Carpenter probably is going to be, at the very least, okay. And Randall Grichuk is, you know, I would imagine, going to get things righted in some capacity. I think he's also probably overvalued with hype. But Michael Wacha, this is an overall trend. Now, his season overall last year was great. But if you isolate on the way it ended, he was trending down. Now, some would say that's because he just got fatigued, but his spring was bad, minus his final start. And he was rocked last night. He was hit hard. That could have been much worse. I'm not really sure why he was still in there in the fifth inning when he started getting hit. You could have stopped the bleeding there. That was very similar to me to game three of the NLDS against the Cubs. It was clear he was wobbly. He was stuck in there. But last night, he was still out there. I don't know what it was about. It's not like arms are tired in game two. I don't know if the goal is to get him the win, which would be odd to me. But that's the strategy aside, bigger picture, looking at his spring and looking at his final month and a half of the regular season in 2016 and or 15, in the fact that he has this unique condition that is not treatable, that's a concern. I mean, he was hit hard last night.
I can only assume that they wanted to keep him out there to try to figure it out, to try to get straightened out, to not count on
Do that down in Jupiter, you know. Yeah. Don't do that in game two.
I'm just trying to think what his reasoning might have been.
Well, I'm not even talking about Matheny. I'm not going into that. That was odd to me. But I'm talking about just evaluating Michael Wacha as a player. It's concerning. The trend is concerning.
Yeah, and he was so lights out good for the early parts. You know, when he first came up, it's hard to imagine that he would have.
And he had a good season. Like, if you just look at his line for 2015, you go, that was a very good season.
It's like 17-7.
Right. But if you look at the final six, 7 weeks, it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is carrying over. Again, it's one start. But when you look at the overall body of work and his spring starts, it wasn't particularly good. And he was hit hard.
Almost 100 pitches in four innings. 98 pitches he made in four and a third. That's really working hard, because those are long innings. Those are high-stress innings. It's a rough outing.
Yeah, when you look at the fact that you give up 10 hits, you only strike out three guys. Now, when you're watching the game, I think I saw 96 on the gun, so the velocity was there at some times. But you look at last year, he wasn't striking out people at the rate that he was years before, so you wonder if this shoulder issue is affecting him in some way there. And I will say this, it wasn't a good outing in any way, but if Aledmys Diaz turns a double play, it's five innings, three earned runs, which, again, isn't a good outing at all, but it's serviceable. So it could have looked a little better, even though he did give up 10 hits, which is way too many.
Yeah.
See, there are times, and again, it gets into like nerdy analytics stuff that probably makes for terrible radio, but that's what we've been doing for 12 years, so why not mess with it? But for example, in 2004, the team didn't start off with a great record. But if you, as the skipper liked to say, yeah, you watch the games. If you watch the games, they were in every game, and they really should have won more games than they did. They got some good starting pitching, and if you look back on the 2004 team, you don't necessarily remember great starting pitching. You just remember a ridiculous lineup. But they just lost some close games in the first month of the season. So again, focusing on the process, not necessarily the results, to try and give at least my analysis, I felt like Waka was fortunate. Granted, you're 100% right, of course, that Diaz should have turned, you know, either a 6-4-3 or 6-U-3 and end that thing. But he was hit hard, and the Cardinals were the beneficiaries of a misplay and left by Marte and some flares over the course of the game. And so looking at it from that standpoint, that's the loss to me should have been worse. In other words, Waka's performance shouldn't have been, you know, as quote good as it was. And then I'm not sure the Cardinals should have scored the 5 runs that they scored. It's basically analyzing how hard were balls hit and also the quality of the at-bats, and then you take a look at the lineup, and you got Matt Holliday's hitting third, and Yadier Molina's hitting fifth. I mean, that's a problem. And Yadier Molina's just not a number 5 hitter anymore, and Matt Holliday's not a number 3 hitter anymore. And, you know, in 2001, when the Cardinals were kind of dicking around and really were sellers at the trade deadline, Tony La Russa kept hitting Mark McGwire, number 3 in the lineup, and eventually, because he was Mark McGwire, and he always had been this guy that you can go back to 1987 and had hit for power, and he finally had to go, okay, it's in the best interest of the team. I got to move him down. And he did. And perhaps it's in the best interest of the team to reconstruct this thing, because Matt Holliday's just not a power guy anymore. Doesn't mean he can't. I mean, one of the overs that I love this year, over-unders that I love, is Holliday hitting above 275. I think he'll hit above 275, but I don't think he's a 3 guy anymore. And Yadier Molina hitting fifth.
I don't know who you'd put at number 3. They don't seem to have a classic number 3 hitter.
See, I'd be more apt to go with Piscotty lower and Holliday at 2, actually, because I think Holliday's a line drive base hit guy at this point. But overall, I mean, this, you know, it is game 2, and you have 10 at-bats, maybe, if you're lucky, to work with as far as a sample goes. But this is something I would have said a week ago, whether they were 2-0 or 0-2. If Yadier Molina's hitting fifth, that's just, it's bizarro world. But, you know, it's kind of also par for the course, in that I think there's a lot of managing on hope as opposed to data. But the thing that, from a bigger picture perspective, that is a concern to me is Michael Waka. That's the thing that, you know, Matt Holliday, like I said, I'll bet on him to hit over 275 all day long, and that is the over-under for his batting average in 2016. So the fact that he's hitting .143 through 2 games isn't a big deal to me. Him hitting third and Molina hitting fifth, that is. But Waka overall is a guy that the team appointed the number 2 starter in his direction, and how hard he was hit and how his spring went and how the end of his 2015 went, that's a bigger issue.
I remain concerned by how much they strike out. There's 27 strikeouts in the first 2 games. You would assume they faced Roger Clemens in the opener and Randy Johnson last night, with Aroldis Chapman closing out these games. So you're striking out 14 times in the opener. And that last night, Nice strikes out 7. Lobstein strikes out 3.
He's going to sponsor the WWE Cup.
Well,
Lobber.
That's right.
Yeah, I just think they need to be more aggressive. I mean, it's one thing to work the count. It's another to keep watching strikes right over the middle of the plate. You got to go up there pumping sometimes. When you're striking out at the rate that they're striking out, they're doing something wrong. And I think what they do, I just don't think they're aggressive enough.
Always go up there pumping, though. I agree with you.
Guys, can we talk about Wong popping up with a bunt with a man on second, no one out? Doug?
I did not see that. I was at an election party, so I didn't see some of the game.
I didn't watch the post game, but I've said this since the Matheny era started. Matheny does a lot of things well. I just think he bunts too much.
Bunted with Matt Carpenter.
To me, the
last
Matt Carpenter
night,
bunt, Matt Carpenter is your best hitter. He had 28 bombs, 26 bombs, yep, whatever it was last year. I never like that play.
I don't either.
With no outs, with Matt Carpenter, who's your best chance to put a ball in the gap and maybe score that guy or hit a ball over the wall. He's your best chance on the team. Now, maybe he did it on his own. I didn't watch the postgame. But I hate that play. Even if it works out and the run scores, just over the course of a season, I hate that play. I also hate bunting with a guy on second and no outs, bunting that guy to third.
I did too.
And that happens a lot as well.
I almost always hate bunting the guy from second to third. It's such a difficult base running play. You're not going to ground into a double play anyway.
Unless it's a pitcher.
Giving up an out. Maybe if it's a pitcher and he can bunt. Some of them can't bunt, and you're just giving up an out. He's in scoring position anyway. I can't stand the bunt from second to third.
It was 11-inning game. The Cardinals didn't have a runner past second base after the fifth inning. They struck out 13 times.
It's the first week of the season. Buh.
5 years ago today, Jackie Papers. Mm-hmm. I wonder who he was scolding there. I think it was Cal May.
I don't know. I think it was the newspaper, one of the newspaper guys, because I remember when he started scolding us all, we would just kind of all bowed our head, took our punishment.
We had it coming. you can call in. Appliances Counter phone lines 314-880-0808. 314-880-0808. You are welcome to text in on the very same number it is, the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Derek Gould will join us coming up at 8 o'clock. Here is Mike Matheny when asked about the offense so far in the season, in particular in comparison to game one.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Yeah, I thought we did a better job of, you know, getting the big hit, but a couple balls really driven well, and another couple, you know, missed opportunities, but better offensive night for sure.
Mike Matheny.
Well, I guess they had 8 hits.
Doug, you are naive and Pollyanna-ish. Touch me in the touch tunnel, let's make sex. That's from Mitch, a glory hole in the bathroom, you know, drilled Kumpstein. Into the wall. Kumpstein.
I've never seen a glory
what
hole.
What the hell?
Mitch Kumpstein has been suspended, Tim. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name, even as we speak, is going into Ragazzi's handsome leather-bound suspension logule. Ragazzi's, home of the $5 fish bowl.
$5.
Happy hour, 3 to 6.
$5. Doug, the phone calls, people want to give their hot takes. They are welcome to do so. Nice. Will wants to give one.
Hello, Will. Hello, Willie.
Good morning, gents. Hey, Doug, how are you?
I'm fine. You?
Not too bad. Hey, I just, by chance, I happened to watch the Yankees game yesterday at lunch and watched the Carlos Beltran at bat. And I just feel like we obviously don't have anybody like that, but, you know, he fouled off. He had about a 10-pitch at bat.
Oh, Lord.
He crushed one that was about 10 feet shy of a home run, you know, in foul territory. And then he hit some horrible pitch and turns it into a single. I just feel like it just drove home for me that I just feel like we have nobody anywhere in that spectrum at all that when they come to the plate, the pitcher and the other team is worried about. So, and I don't know what we're going to do about it.
You like the foul balls that Beltran hit?
Well, he crushed this thing, and he just missed hitting a home run. I mean, it just leaked foul. I'm just saying, he's got power. He's an old guy. And I just feel like we just don't have that kind of bat on the team that gets up there and can have, you know, quality at bats. Matt Carpenter's up there, certainly, but I don't know. I'm concerned about this year. So we'll see. I know it's early, but I was concerned before the season started.
Thank you, Will.
All right, Will. Now, Matt Carpenter hit a lot of foul balls the last two nights, but if you'll notice, a lot of them were pitches right down the middle. And I'm sure he would tell you, I had a good pitch I could have hit, instead of, well, there's a good foul ball. I make the pitcher work. No, he had good pitches to hit, and he couldn't do anything with them.
Do you want to cut him?
I don't want to cut him, no.
That'd be a nice time to pull him in the office.
I am not concerned to the level of a lot of Cardinals fans. And I'm not saying this, you know, this team's not going to be 100 wins. I didn't think that before. I still think they're going to be a good team. I think they're going to be above 500. I think they could get to a 90-win type mark. I think they're going to be in it, whether it's the division or a wild card or the second wild card. It is two games. I'm not as concerned as everyone else. There are a lot of good young pieces that can do some positive things. Like, I don't think Waka is going to be horrible all season. I mean, if he has 3 or 4 outings like this, I will be concerned. I'm not going to be super worried after one, even though he did trend down at the end of last season.
Yeah. You could see how a guy doesn't have his legs up under him yet, Chuck.
All I'm saying is if you throw Carpenter, Piscotty. I know Grichuk has holes in his swing, but Jerko, Wong, these are talented guys who've done some things in the past. Yeah. I don't think they're all going to be bad all season long.
No, they won't.
Yeah, I don't think the Cardinals
got lit up in his first start with Arizona.
Right. And I don't think the Cardinals are going to be as good as the Cubs. I really don't. And I didn't think that before the season started. But I do think the Cardinals are going to be in it.
Yeah. Well, I think they have a chance because of their pitching. Leak looked great in the spring. Martinez looked great in the spring. Jaime's good when he's healthy. I think they got a shot. But it certainly feels like they are at least one bat short of having an offense that's going to carry him to a division title.
Cardinals lost again, huh?
Yeah, they did, Mike.
It is kind of an odd-looking lineup, just from a construction standpoint, when you do have Matt Carpenter, who's your best power hitter, leading off. And even though Holiday still is a good player, he's just not the slugger he has been in the past. Where last year, when he's an all-star, what do you have? You know, two or three or four home runs in half a season. Mm-hmm. He still gets on base at a very high clip, but he's just not that guy that's going to hit 25 homers.
It's hard to believe that he's not. He's still big as a house.
And he's
big,
still
strong guy. Why? Where'd the power go?
If you look at the whole exit velocity deal, you know, Grichuk's the best on the team. He's one of the best in baseball. But Holiday, last year before he was hurt, he was still very high across Major League Baseball. And exit velocity means the ball's coming off his bat, you know, mm-hmm. very hard. Maybe he's not creating the backspin to hit it over the wall, but he's still hitting the ball really hard.
Mike Leake does make his debut this evening, Doug. Dee Freeze has raked against Mike Leake in his career, 8-for-16 with a home run. The Cardinals will be up against the great Juan Nicasio.
Nicasio, who has just tore it up in the spring. He was like the best pitcher in the Grapefruit League.
Not a large sample size for anybody minus Jed Jerko. Who's 3-for-15 in his career against him. Otherwise, the Cardinals have nobody that's faced him more than five times. Leake was outstanding in the spring. That's the one. That's the thing. If you said, okay, who do you feel more bullish on going into the season, you're 1-2, assuming that it's in ranking right now with Wainwright and Waka or Leake and Martinez, you're 3-4. I would take the 3-4. So this is one. Last night I had low expectations for Waka, and he actually might have superseded those by how hard he was hit. But with Leake, I'm hopeful that you will see him carry over what he's able to do in the spring. And it's not like that Pirate lineup is, you know, that impressive. A guy who didn't even have a job a month ago is their number three hitter, albeit the beloved David Freese. He's gone from off the street to being the number three hitter. So far, so good, though. Hitting .444, 2-for-5 last night. So Cardinals and Pirates this evening as they try to avoid the sweep. Off tomorrow, then they go to Atlanta. And Doug will reprise the 1996 NLCS. So that'll be fun.
Don't say reprise. We just don't use that kind of terminology here.
I like it.
Thank you, Charlie.
That's what we're going to do in Atlanta. We're going to reprise things.
An actor. It's been 20 years. Ah, yes, Dimitri Young with the triple.
Demeat Hook. Yeah. An actor reprises a role. Doug?
Reprises a role.
Yeah.
Manchild79 has a question for you. Why should we care about exit velo, another made-up stat by baseball dweebs? That's Manchild79.
Really? I'm looking at the average exit velocity last year in Major League Baseball. Here's like the top 10.
Stanton number one.
Stan
rake last night.
I'm pretty sure he's a good player. Miguel Cabrera, maybe the best hitter in baseball of the last 15 years. Number two, Miguel Sano, huge prospect for the Twins, had a good rookie season. Greg Bird, Randall Grichuk, David Ortiz.
Who's Jose, Greg Bird?
Greg Bird of the Yankees.
Yankees. Jose Bautista. Yeah. I think these guys are pretty good.
Big power hitters.
So you are putting that in Manchild 79's face.
Well, he's wrong, so yes.
Wow!
What sort of exit velocity did you have when you played, Chunk?
I was like 150 miles per hour.
And what's Stanton?
The problem is I'd always hit it right at the guy. Like, otherwise, I'd hit like 500.
Right at him.
All my line drives went right to the fielders.
You hit into some buzzard luck.
Doug, do you think there are any small woodland creatures living in John Jaso's hair? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
It's an unusual hairstyle, isn't it?
But that's not the
small woodland creatures. But we're talking like a wolverine, that sort of thing.
A small pony?
Shetland pony. Aim low, boys. They're riding Shetland ponies.
To answer the question, though, Doug, Giancarlo Stanton's average launch speed, 99.1.
Wouldn't you think it'd be
that's
more
the
than
average?
Average. I mean, if a pitcher can throw the ball 96, 97, the ball seems like they're hit a whole lot harder. It seems like almost every ball goes out harder than it comes in.
But how many times, though, do you get jammed? Do you not hit the ball in the barrel? That all factors in.
Yeah.
How about this, though?
But a normal line drive or a home run would go, what, 120?
That's a good question. Carlos Piguero is like 11th on this list.
And he's down at AAA.
Our guy. Yeah.
Well, if they continue to hit the way they have the first 2 days, we may be seeing people like that. I don't know where you'd put him. You're not going to take out Holiday, Grichik, Piscotty. I don't know where you'd put
him. I was just giving you a stat.
It's a 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Acorns Golf Links. Check them out at acornsgolflinks.com. The 7 o'clock hour sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Acorns Golf Links. The weather starts warming up. People want to go out there and play golf. Support the sponsors. Make sure you're playing at Acorns. Plowboy, where's your analysis at this point, 2 games into the season? You're never afraid to just give the hottest of takes.
It's too small of a sample size to really even give hot takes. I was a little disappointed in Michael Wacha's outing. I thought they left him in a little bit too long. Understand it's his first start. You kind of want to give him through some kinks. But that bullpen, Tim, man, that's going to win you 40 or 50 games for sure.
40 or 50 games?
50 again. 50 wins for the bullpen this year.
Well, I said the...
So are we talking the team's going to go 50 and 110?
I think Seth Maness is a 20-game winner.
I'm thinking like 82 wins. The offense will pick up. We'll get you some, 7-1, 7-2 victories, Troy. But that bullpen. Mm.
That pen. You know who I like is Soonwon Oh.
Oh, you mean the final boss?
I like the final boss.
What up, final B? What's up, Tim?
3 Ks in one inning to work last night.
I like Trevor Rosenthal.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Segrist.
Yeah, okay.
Nice take. More takes.
Seth Maness.
Now, you didn't say that with a whole lot of confidence.
I say this. Now, Seth Maness, we all know he had a very tough spring. Last night, I was at the 2 Fox, and I was in the gym. We have a nice gym at the 2 Fox. I'm watching the game, doing a little cardio, doing a little biking, doing a little treadmilling.
Okay.
Whatever that inning was where it started with Seth Maness facing, I believe, Andrew McCutchen, David Fries, and who comes after Fries? Maybe
Marte.
Polanco?
Marte.
And I was just like, this is the inning they lose. You're in Pittsburgh. You're facing Maness. He had a rough spring. You're facing McCutchen, Fries, and Marte. And then he got through it. The next inning was the inning the Pirates won. Mm-hmm. But still, as you went deeper in that game, you just felt like eventually the Cardinals were going to lose that game. The bullpen... I mean, they retired 18 straight batters at one point. You just can't keep that going.
No, you can't.
And then you're at the end where you have nobody left.
Yes, you do. Yeah, if you're a guy like Maness and you're living and dying by a sinker and it's not very sharp, you're going to have some trouble. Because I would think that's a pitch that can come and go on you. Unlike a reliever like Rosenthal throwing 98 miles an hour, that's always going to be there. But that I think that's kind of what's happened to Maness the last month or so is... His sinker isn't working the way he wants it to sink, and then when that's not the case, he's vulnerable.
Cardinals, Pirates this evening, day off tomorrow, off to Atlanta. Blues will fill your Cardinal off day void by taking on the Blackhawks, who won last night, which means that the Blues still have not clinched, at the very least, the home ice advantage if they are to play Chicago. Chicago winning last night. They have won 3 in a row, so that is a very big game at the United Center tomorrow, Doug. And then the Blues will finish things off at home against Laze Capital, the President's Trophy winner. The Blackhawks are coming. Tra-la. Tra-la?
Tra-la, yeah.
Oh, can I ask you a question real quick?
Well,
Doug doesn't really want to take
kind
questions.
Kind of pressed for time, but go ahead quickly.
But Laze Capital, are they... Is that a team in Quebec?
That's correct. That's actually correct. Yeah.
I thought it was our nation's capital.
No.
You don't have to say that every time they go to Washington. You don't have to keep saying our nation's capital.
You usually say something like the note taken on the Caps. Let's head to our nation's capital.
You don't have to keep saying that.
I like that intro.
For the moving pictures.
Oh, wonderful.
Keep saying that all the time, our nation's capital.
That increases the chances of the Emmy.
It doesn't really affect the game. I mean, when they play in L.A., we don't say our nation's West Coast.
To Pittsburgh we go. PNC Park.
Steel City.
What's Pittsburgh?
I would just kind of like to cool it a little bit on our nation's capital.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Is that Chris Berman?
Yeah.
The playoffs started today. The Blues would play the Blackhawks, who knocked them out in the first round last season.
Hey, that kind of almost works with the.
It usually works like for probably the last week or so.
Yeah.
That the Blues will be playing the Blackhawks in the first round?
Who knocked them out last year?
Think about that.
Well, that's not true anymore. The Two Foxes is more prestigious than getting a PhD. Mm. I stepped on that one a little bit. Mm.
So, if the Blues were to lose tomorrow night to Chicago and lose this weekend against Laissez Capital, team from Quebec. That means the Blackhawks would have the tiebreaker in home ice if they, of course, would beat the Blues and win at CBJ, Doug.
Let's not say CBJ.
On Saturday.
I've noticed one concerning stat. It's a little thing I call goal differential.
Never heard of this. Now, what's going on?
It's goals you've scored as opposed to goals you've given up.
And in different ways.
In differential.
So goals scored in different ways.
Right.
Not really. It's how many. It's just a matter of how many you've scored. And Chicago has a goal differential of 28.
Okay.
And the Blues, 26.
So, therefore, the Blackhawks are the better team?
Yeah, there's not many ways you can look at that stat other than to know that fellas were in a bit of trouble.
Because of a two-goal difference in goal differential?
This is a stat more important than that, what was that bat speed thing you brought out a little while ago?
Exit velocity.
Exit velocity.
It's funny you bring that up because I was going to bring up a stat which I call puck velocity.
Oh.
And I don't like the fact that the Blues are subpar in terms of their wrist shots.
And the puck velocity?
In puck velo.
God, I like that stat.
Now, their slap shots are okay.
Are they?
Okay. The wristers, though, you got to kind of flick, you got to rip the wrister.
Who has the hardest slap shot on the Blues outfit?
I would guess.
Chopper.
Pareko?
Chopper doesn't play anymore.
Matter of opinion.
Well, he hasn't played for, what, 10, 12 years?
Mm-mm. The Arizona Coyotes are off the board with Bovada to win the Cup this year. But the Washington Capitals are your favorites at 17-4. Spent a lot of time in Las Vegas, and I've never seen 17-4 on the board.
Well, have you ever seen a plus 58 goal differential?
Never in my life.
That's what Washington has.
They will be parading the chalice down K
Street.
Goal
differential means what I think it does.
The Kings are the favorite in the West. How about that? Kings have the tied for fourth with the Ducks. Highest point total, but they are the favorites out of the West per Bovada. Kings 7-1 to win the Cup. Blackhawks 15-2. Ducks 8-1. Stars 9-1, along with the surging Pittsburgh Penguins, who have won 7 in a row. And the Blues are also at 9-1. And then there is a substantial drop off between the Blues, Penguins, Stars, all at 9-1. And then the next group, the Sharks at 16-1. But the favorites, Laissez Capital, and out of the West, the Los Angeles Kings. Kings and Blackhawks, it's all we've seen. When's the last time we saw another team other than the Kings or Blackhawks in the Cup Finals? Was it the Canucks 5 years ago?
I think so. I don't remember years very well, Tim. The stat that caught my eye is that Detroit has a good chance to make the playoffs with a negative goal differential.
Hold them accountable.
Minus 12. That's going to turn the sport on its head.
Yeah, Yzerman's not playing well this year.
He's not had a good year.
And Fedorov?
Great takes.
Same thing. Yeah.
Great takes.
Gordie Howe has been absent.
Nicholas Lidstrom?
Not a peep from him either.
But like in hockey, Doug, what, 16 of the 30 teams make the playoffs? Same in the NBA. It's not real a great badge of honor to make the eighth seed in the East.
That's all you got to do.
I understand.
But unlike the NBA, the eighth seeds can make their way to the Cup Finals.
That's
true. You do not see that
in the
NBA.
Kings.
Chris Pronger's Edmonton Oilers. That's, we've seen it. Meat on the burner.
There is some meat on the burner. God, I miss that Ron Caron.
Mm. Just a brief NBA aside. This is for me and Charlie. How about the Timberwolves? It's not Timberwolves Tuesday, but the Timberwolves beating the Warriors. I woke up, and that was like the thing that stunned me when I was reading this morning. I couldn't believe it. I want to see the Warriors break the Bulls record, and they lost at home last night to the Timberwolves. Timberwolves Tuesday. Doug's a big T-Wolves guy, and you said keep an eye on this Timberwolf bunch.
Doug loves Ricky Rubio.
He does.
Well, the Timberwolves have a minus 4 point differential.
And that's about what the Warriors is.
The Warriors are like plus
2,000.
Yeah, their average game plus 10.
Over
the average game they play, they're winning by 10.8.
Here's what I want out of the Warriors: in all seriousness. I don't know which game they play the Spurs, but I want that last game, if they have a chance to break the record, I want them to play the Spurs, and I want Popovich to play nobody, which he's probably going to do anyway. And I want everyone to complain about the sanctity of the record, because that's what we're going to hear on ESPN for like 3 days.
Who takes?
Because Popovich is going to sit Duncan, Ginobili, Parker. He might sit every good player on his team because he doesn't care about things like that. The Warriors will win by 22 points. They'll break the record, and people will go crazy. And the Bulls will come, you know, Scottie Pippen will complain again.
Do you think the Spurs want to finish the season without losing a game at home?
I don't know where that game is.
They're 39-0 at home.
Right, but they beat the Warriors just like 2 weeks ago.
Think about that.
Popovich doesn't care about stuff like that. I really don't think he cares about that. And he's got three stars who are close to 40.
That have been playing on the same team for 20 years, it seems.
1,000 wins between Popovich and Duncan. How about that?
Yeah.
Doug, if you could choose either Steph Curry or Kobe Bryant to build your team around, who would you sleep with? Thanks, Ambro.
I think I'd still go LeBron.
LeBron's like, what, 30, 31, Doug?
I think that's who I would still take.
For the next...
Curry's more flashy right
years.
Now.
Doug, which of the main four sports involves the most luck to win a game? Thanks. It's from the 314.
I would say the most luck would be hockey. Because so many goals go in on crazy bounces that you couldn't possibly control. It just happened.
Puck luck.
You took a shot, it took a crazy hop, crazy deflection. I would say that.
You're talking about puck luck.
Puck luck, yeah.
I am enamored as far as hockey goes, and we will hear it here over the next few weeks and what I hope is the next couple of months, about effort. It's, you never hear that, whether it be NBA, whether it be college basketball, college football, NFL,
buy-in.
Major League Baseball. But it's just like, yeah, they didn't like our effort tonight. Can you imagine if Matheny said that? It'd be like all hell would break loose.
Yeah. These are guys risking life and limb every time they take the ice. Someone gets hurt every game. They're flying around at 25 miles an hour, crashing into the boards. They've got a puck coming at them 100 miles an hour. And we're going to question their effort and their buy-in.
But it's the coach doing it. It's not like some guy on a message board.
I know.
Speaking of some guy on a message board, did you see? You did.
You better believe it.
The cameras, the Fox Sports Midwest cameras, cut to the crowd on a borderline call that didn't go the Pirates' way in the, I think it was the 9th inning or 10th inning. I think it was during Carpenter's at bat. And they cut to a guy who's probably been blocked by 200 people on Twitter and has maybe 72,000 message board posts.
He's gone to 4 Trump rallies.
He couldn't have been angrier. I mean, he was, his nose was as red as the day is long, and he was just MFing the umpire in amongst 12,000 other people in game 2 of the 162. I mean, he wanted a piece of Blue's ass, Doug.
He did not like that strike zone. And you got to give it to Fox Sports Midwest to, you know, cutting back to him. They got it. I think they could tell this was going to be a social media phenomenon because he's just yelling, screaming, probably swearing, Doug. Call it both ways.
You're pissing me off right now.
Because nobody really has a better view of the strike zone than somebody sitting about 250 feet away from home plate at an angle.
Probably hammered drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Just game 2 of the season, fired up.
I think you can pretty much call balls and strikes as you watch it on TV. You can make the call before a split second before the umpire and get it right almost as much as he does.
Right, from the back angle.
Right.
This guy was side angle, where you can see the height of the pitch. You can't really see the location in and out.
Right. But still, that gives you a good platform to sit there and scream at the umpire. Right.
Yeah, he kind of looked like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I have a feeling we might come from the same county in Ireland based on the red nose.
He was so mad.
Holy moly. There is a concert announcement today at Busch Stadium. Do we know who it is? Plowboy, who do you think it is? It's at 10 o'clock. The mayor is going to be there. It's a whole thing.
Well, you know me and music, I honestly don't know what bands are still touring, so I do not have a guess, Tim. But if I did have a guess, Gene and Dean Ween.
Yep, it's Ween Wednesday.
Oh, boy, that would be a treat. I don't think they got enough money to bring those two back.
My theory is Paul McCartney.
That's what I said yesterday.
Oh, did you really?
I said a McCartney or a Billy Joel type.
It'd be the 50th anniversary of the Beatles playing at Busch Stadium. Now, Billy Joel is doing a stadium tour as well.
Some are theorizing the Guns N' Roses announcement that they were playing St. Louis and then withdrawing that on April Fool's Day is all just a level because of the history with Axl Rose and St. Louis.
They wouldn't have them at Busch Stadium, would they?
Well, that's what people thought, I think, that it was going to be.
I don't think so.
And then on April 1st, Friday, the Guns N' Roses spokesperson told Kevin Johnson of the Post-Dispatch that it wasn't going to happen. So my action is on Paul McCartney. Announcement at 10 o'clock.
That would make sense. That would be, I can't imagine anyone who would be bigger that they would make a special announcement over that.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd make a special announcement for GNR. I don't even know if they would. If
don't
they
say
would
GNR.
Have,
don't
How
say.
Do you like it?
No, don't say GNR.
Spaghetti. A spaghetti incident. Yeah, I don't know if. Do you think they would want Guns N' Roses at Busch Stadium?
No.
I think it was going to be at the Dome anyway, though. But yeah, I'm thinking my action's on Paul McCartney. But it's not like I know anything. I'm just
That's
guessing. It's a 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like that play.
They've had other big name bands in there, and they haven't held special announcements to announce it, have they?
U2 is in there, Eagles, Dixie Chicks. I feel Dave Matthews
was there, yeah.
I think Joshua
played it.
In the dugout, the third base dugout.
Yeah, when there wasn't anyone in the stadium at the time.
Still was nervous as all hell.
Right.
Martin and I, when we saw that announcement, we were looking at bands that are doing stadium tours this summer. You think Pearl Jam would be a big enough name to go in there?
Wow, Doug pisses on Eddie Vedder. I don't know where.
Because he's a Cubs fan?
Jinx Coke. Eight ball.
If you're going to say it's a special announcement and they're calling a news conference and everything, it's got to be something huge.
That's why I agree with Tim. I think it's a Paul McCartney, Billy Joel type.
So Billy Joel and Elton John at Scott Trade Center. Doug, was that 2009?
I don't know. Does Paul McCartney still do his own 3-hour concerts?
I think it's like 27 minutes.
I would think. What he's in his 70s now, isn't
Listen
he?
To this. Bruce Springsteen saw him at Chaffetz, whatever it was, 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they went, I think,
you went,
3 hours.
That?
Yeah.
Look at you.
3 hours
you
and 20 minutes. Yes. 3 hours and 20 minutes straight.
He's unbelievable. God bless him.
And they played that the River album, which I think it's a 20-song album. And they played that for the first about hour and 50 or almost 2 hours, that straight album all the way through 20 songs, which I don't think was one of their more popular albums. But they went like no breaks, 3 hours and 20 minutes. Bruce Springsteen's, what, 66 years old? He's crowd surfing.
And you're sure all of it is actually being played? None of it is lip sync?
No, I don't think any of that was lip synced. I mean, he's got 10 musicians on stage.
I mean, you really had to be talented to pull that off. And it's got to be tiring. I mean, you never have to
do a 3-hour show every day.
Well, we're not singing. We're not singing at the top of our lungs, and you never need to clear your throat or get a drink of water or do any of that for 3 hours.
In between songs, as the end of the song would play and the crowd would start to cheer, he would go sometimes take the one guitar off. Put in, you know, somebody would bring him a new guitar to put over his shoulder, maybe take a swig of water. At one time, I think I saw him go over there, take a towel, and kind of towel off because he's sweating bullets. But for the most part, 3 hours and 20 minutes straight.
Tim, do you need a water?
you'd be right there, wouldn't you?
It'd be the key grip. Now we have one person texting and saying they have an inside source that it's Billy Joel, and then another person saying they have an inside source and it's Paul McCartney on August 13th.
Well, maybe it's
we have
the
inside sources everywhere in the text inbox.
Could it be the deuce of them?
Be a nice combo.
Yes, it would be.
Now, when I saw Billy Joel play at the Scott Trade Center, it was him and Elton John, and then Elton John performed Uptown Girl. I didn't like that. And it's not because I know Elton John's not looking for an Uptown Girl. It's just it's Billy Joel's song. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do you have a problem with that?
Well, yeah,
314-880-0080.
Elton John's got plenty of hits to do his own self.
Now, if Paul McCartney plays, does he do all the Beatles stuff?
He does that Hey Jude. It's the encore. Do you want more? Cook and roll.
I don't know, Charlie. I've never been to a Paul McCartney concert.
Well, I'm just asking because if it's Paul McCartney and he's doing all the Beatles stuff,
I would rather go
would
Billy
like
Joel than
that.
Paul McCartney, but we're from a different generation.
Right. You know? Otherwise, I would rather see Billy Joel. Like, I don't know a lot of Paul McCartney's post-Beatles stuff.
I saw Paul McCartney at the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
saying
I do.
Freedom.
Let's hear it for freedom.
Freedom.
Let's see. Guys, I have inside sources that say it's acoustic sessions. Wow. Now, I think they could fill up Busch Stadium.
I don't know. Maybe if they did it like between innings at a game. Just hustle out there real fast. You got like 2 minutes between innings, I guess, maybe.
Doug, it's... Bombs, smoke bombs, take a listen. Bombs. Doug, it's Sir Elton John, you a-hole. Thanks. Oh, sorry. It's Eureka Snuggle Bunny.
I'm just looking forward to a big, demonstrative, gaudy set. Then afterwards, the Busch Stadium outfield is in tatters. Yep. Everyone complains about it. And then, you know, there'll be a game against the Reds, and Billy Hamilton will slip, and then people will blame Paul McCartney on the season or something like mm-hmm. that.
I believe you, too, played there in 2011, World Championship, and the team was 0-2, World Championship.
Really? Was it Hunter Pence? Didn't he slip out there? I remember something about
Kurt
that.
Flood.
No, but there was something with the turf after the U2 concert, and there was a play that was an important play, and somebody slipped out there. I thought it was Hunter Pence. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I'm not going to look it up.
There's just no way to do that without tearing. They allow fans to sit there.
Do you remember what the field looked like after?
I've not been to a concert at Busch Stadium. I'm asking, do fans actually sit on the field? Do they have seats on the field?
For U2... Yeah, I remember standing probably around where first base would be. But it's more about this huge set that's being rolled out there and built up and tore down that's tearing up the outfield.
Yeah. The set, I'm sure, is on some sort of scaffolding or something.
He just texted me, Doug, and he says the key is Mayor Slay will be there. He's not showing up for a GNR announcement.
Okay. Bye, Iggy.
Could it be like MC Hammer?
Now, Iggy is probably at Hedo this time of year. I'm surprised he would be so plugged into the local scene.
He's streaming, baby. He's streaming.
Is he? I miss that Iggy.
I would bang you right now.
Oh, well, I don't miss you for that.
I'm pretty confident in saying it's either McCartney or Billy Joel.
I think it's a nice play, Charlie.
Would you take McCartney? Would you take McCartney, Joel, or the field?
Doug, that's interesting.
That's every other band
on
this
earth. Boy, you stumbled on a good question there, Chuck. Holy smokes. I'll take the field just because it's more interesting if we don't all say the same thing.
Could it be somebody like Metallica?
No. You mean Metallica?
No, I don't think they're going to bring in somebody who would risk the crowd tearing the place up.
Metallica fans, though, are now like 50 years old.
Yeah, but they're headstrong, Chuck.
It's true.
Your thoughts are welcome. 314-880-0808. Guys, the announcement will be Chaps at the Podium announcing that the Rams are coming back. KG in O-Town says, I think it's obvious here that someone is being lied to. Mm. Happened to poor Colonel Gabriel P.D. Armand during Missouri's many either coaching searches or conference switches or whatever the hell's going on down there. All right, we got to take a break. Derek Gould's going to join us at the top of the hour. He is going to be with us Wednesday and Friday, or Monday and Wednesday. What is it, the Sea Monster? It's one or the other. Either way, Rick Hummel's Tuesday and Thursdays. Derek Gould's going to be with us today. I know that.
Generally, it'll be Mondays and Thursdays, but I switched it up a little bit this week, depending on when he travels and such.
Right on.
Don't say and such.
I liked and such right there. It was appropriate use. The 7 o'clock hour presented by Acorns Golf Links has come to a conclusion. The 8 o'clock hour with Derek Gould is about to get underway next here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports 105.7, HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.